Do you have questions about your health? Do you need to find out what's keeping you from feeling your absolute best? If so, your intuition has guided you to the right place. I am Dr. Charlize, and welcome to the Art of Healing podcast community. In this podcast, we explore all topics in health and wellness, from Reiki to functional medicine, energy medicine, chakras, and meditation. Join me every week for fresh new episodes that highlight healers, various healing modalities, and use this as your opportunity to find what healing works best for you. If you want to learn more about me, simply Google at Dr. Charlize. Enjoy. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Art of Healing podcast. I was lucky enough to be able to have Dr. Tran Nguyen, who is a board-certified geriatric pharmacist, join me to discuss deprescribing. She had previously been on my show, and we had discussed many things in the pharmacy world and how it interacts with our lives. And I felt that this topic was one that we really should go back and review what deprescribing is and how to do it for different types of medications. So Dr. Nguyen is a board-certified pharmacist and a geriatric pharmacist, and she's the owner of Mimosa Health. And I will put the link for Mimosa Health, the website, in the show notes. Her mission is to provide expert advice on using medication in older adults, promote healthy aging, and educate seniors about polypharmacy and medication safety. She is a radio host of The Medicine Cabinet, which is a featured radio show in Oklahoma City, and she is a published author of Medication Management for 50 Plus. So during this episode, Dr. Nguyen and I reviewed the various types of the most commonly prescribed medications and what might be a strategy when it's time to come off those medications. Enjoy. Class of medications. In Dr. Nguyen's first episode with me, she had mentioned a few times the medications called PPIs. I think I hear a lot of patients say heartburn medicine, acid reflux medication. She and I tend to think of these as the class of proton pump inhibitors that for many years were only prescription, and now they're over the counter. And so for a lot of people listening, you might actually be taking a medicine that just not even that long ago was only prescription, but now you can just buy it at your pharmacy. And those include omeprazole, pantoprazole. And so I wanted to ask Dr. Nguyen if someone is taking one of these, especially if you've been buying them over the counter and you realize maybe you've been taking it for 3 months or 6 months. Because you've been getting over the counter, you may have just forgotten that you're even taking it. But you might notice when you stop it, you have a lot of symptoms. So for those people, Dr. Nguyen, what would be the strategy of deprescribing the PPIs?
The first questions I want you to ask is the why. Why you've been on it? Is that for short term or for long term? What's the indication for each medication you take? Sometimes patients don't even know why they start that proton pump inhibitor. Maybe it's just a short stay at the hospital and hospital put them on it just for doing the stay. And they forget to get the patient off when they discharge, and patient keep renewing the same medication over and over again and years after year. So we have to ask for the why, and we have to check for the symptoms if they still have the symptoms or not. And so if you still have the symptoms of heartburn or any reason with your GI tract that might need the help of the medication, then you might stay on it. But most patients will not need it. The reason I say that, because I have seen patients in nursing home that on this class of medications, almost every single patient's taken this medication. And because of some guidelines that say, or when you take so many medications, and if you take multiple medications, that will upset your stomach no matter what. Even you eat better, you do everything well, but if you take 5 or 10 medications every day, that will irritate your stomach. So many physicians will be on the safe side, will protect your stomach. So that's why I say we have to ask the why. So sometimes if I help my patient get off medications, I will first of all look at the medication schedule and see if we can spread the medication throughout the day instead of take 10 medications one time in the morning that might irritate the stomach. Then I will say, hey, how about you spread out just 3 in the morning, 3 at night, 3 at bedtime. So spread out your medication schedule. That will help to reduce irritation. And then when you don't have that anymore, then you may ask the physician to reduce the dose. You don't need to get off completely, but you might reduce the dose by 25% of the dose or 50% of the dose over 1 or 2 weeks, 4 weeks interval, and see how it goes. Sometimes you don't even know why. You don't even know the difference when you take that medication or not. So that means your body might not need it. It's just a little changes in the schedule of other medications may help with the stomach, or some medication you need with food. Did you know that? Did you know that some medication you take on an empty stomach? And if you follow exactly what the manufacturers say, that will help with the stomach a big time. And most patients don't read the instruction, or many pharmacists don't counsel the patient, or even physicians don't remind the patient, hey, take that with food. It will irritate your stomach. And of course, when patient got stomach irritation, that will reach out for a medication instead of find out the root cause of the irritation. Is that because of food? Is that because of the medications? Is that because of stress? So finding out the root cause, the why of the stomach upset, then will help to set a goal to de-prescribe that medication.
So in the last of the classes of medicines, and what got me the most interested when Dr. Nguyen was on the show some weeks ago, was she had given an example of if someone's being treated for depression that maybe is, like, clinically we say episodic. It means that depression symptoms that came on after some kind of event. But what if the event's better and the person has healed from it and is in a much better place, but the medication they were started is still going? She had mentioned antidepressants. So I did want to ask her that medicines that we prescribe for depression, and she reminded me, she's going to cover this, that we do different classes of medicine for depression. The most common, I think most of us would have heard of, would be escitalopram, citalopram, and sertraline. And she included some additional in that list. But what is your strategy as far as de-prescribing medicines to heal depression when they're no longer needed?
Well, I took a class with a psychiatrist, and he say the way to heal depression is to have a brain scan. So we have to scan the brain to know exactly what is going on with the brain. He feel like we should not say mental health. We should say brain health, so we don't target the patient. as a patient with mental issue. We'll look at the patient without compassion and say they might just have some brain issue, and just treat the brain like your heart, your kidney, your liver. And so however you treat those organs, treat the brain the same way. When you look at the brain, just a part of your body, then you will understand sometimes depression or psychosis or anxiety, it's just part of the brain that's missing something. And once you figure it out, when you have a psychiatrist that understand that, that will relieve of a great burden on taking multiple medication for depression, not just this class, escitalopram, citalopram, sertraline, Prozac. That class we call SSRI. But there's more classes that treat antidepression. Even some psychiatrists that use antipsychotics to treat depression, or anti-anxiety medication to treat depression. So I feel like in many years of being a pharmacist is that we just throw medication at the patient. Just try this class, just try that class, and see which one help you. And then at the end, I have seen patient taking multiple classes of medications that treat just a depression symptom. And I feel like that not necessary to take multiple medication just to treat one symptom. And so first of all, we're going to help just like we're doing lifestyle changes. This one we do a little bit different with antidepression, because this type of issue, we might need more than just medication. We need to give the patient social support, spiritual support. We have to understand not just beside helping the brain getting healthier, we have to help them with those support. And then once they feel like they're not lonely, a lot of depressive patients will feel very lonely. And that's what we need to ask them, was how they're doing. Sometimes I have seen research saying that if physicians or healthcare provider just ask the patient how's they're doing, how's their day going, how's their life, instead of how many medication you are on, is that work for you? You know, we target a little bit different. And once they feel better, they will slowly tell us that they don't need that medication anymore, because they're not depressed anymore, or they not feel anxious anymore, because we always by their side helping them. So this class of medication is a little bit trickier because we just not provide lifestyle changes. We have to provide social support, psychological support, or spiritual support. And this research at Harvard University, they're doing research about doing spiritual support for their mental health patient. So, and then they help patients get off medications that not needed anymore. So it's just different ways to help patient. And so in this class, we do non-pharmacological therapy. So there's different therapy that help patient. And from that, we can help patient to de-prescribe them.
I have just in the probably last couple of years started to ask my patients who are being treated for depression about their diet. And as I started training in functional medicine, so I kind of knew this before, but then actually when I learned the importance of getting in a high quality diet, it's been interesting. I found out that like their diet's very carbohydrate, refined carbohydrate rich, lots of processed foods. And that as we even talk a little bit more about what's going on in their lives, that the patients themselves realize a strong link between
binge eating on a really unhealthy food, and then a direct dive in their mood that will last for several hours to several days. So looking at how you live, you can actually help improve depression, just like you can high cholesterol or even high blood pressure. So I wanted to ask Dr. Nguyen about the two most difficult medications when it comes to deprescribing. So for individuals who are suffering from severe chronic pain, and for individuals that may be taking the other class of medication related to severe chronic anxiety, or maybe even chronic pain, the opioids and what's called the benzodiazepines are medications that are something they come to rely on for years and years, and definitely the most difficult topic when it comes to working with a patient, particularly if maybe the time has come to start deprescribing those. So I wanted to ask Dr. Nguyen just her opinion, and she's also can update us on what some of the current guidelines are regarding opioid therapy and some things to think about. And I just want to remind the listeners that, of course, as we're discussing this, you would need to discuss this with your doctor. But if you'll just use this time is your own personal education about what's going on when you're taking opioids more than 3 months or 6 months, the changes in your body, what you are wanting from your life in the next step. So Dr. Nguyen, do you mind on discussing just the deprescribing of those and kind of what's going on with the guidelines?
Well, the guidelines changes starting October, end of October, that many long-term care facilities have to not just look into antipsychotics, antidepressant, anti-anxiety, or hypnotics medication. We also look into pain management, which means we have to starting de-prescribe some of the pain medication for resident that just taking that for short term, such as when they have a surgery. They're supposed to be on it for short term. And it unfortunately, when patient taking some of the opioids, they start dependent on it. They didn't mean it, but their body loved the feeling of being on an opioid. So they seek for more opioids. And in the community, of course, when they take in high dose of opioid mixing with benzodiazepine, an anti-anxiety class, and then muscle relaxant, so they might have gabapentin, Lyrica, methocarbamol, that class of drugs, when they mix all three together. Plus alcohol, we call it a deadly cocktail. That's why it's so, so important for you to understand when you are taking a chronic pain medication, you have to be mindful of what the medication doing to your body. Yes, it's a wonderful drugs to help you relieve the pain, but is that really relieve your pain or just cover up your pain? So, first of all, we will not make any judgment on you when you take a pain medications. So the first thing, we as healthcare provider will do, and this is what we'll do in nursing homes, we, recommend patient have naloxone. So in the community, you can walk into a pharmacy and say, hey, I'm taking opioid pain medications. I need a naloxone, medication. So you don't need a prescription for that. The law passed and pharmacists can prescribe naloxone for patient in the community. Of course, you can have a prescription order from a physician. But this is what we call harm reductions. What will help reduce harm? We will prevent your opioid overdose. And of course, we'll try to save your life. If that's what you decide to stay on the chronic pain management. And then last week I went to a conference and some of the speaker mentioned about, you know, we should ask what's going on in your life, because Pain management is very tricky when it's involved not just into physical pain, but it's also involved in psychological pain, social pain, and spiritual pain. So many times we just ask you what on the pain scale, what is your number, and you give us a number, and we prescribe you that medication. And I think that we should change that mindset, that whenever you see a physician or a physician see you, you know, we just, it's an interaction between you and physician, and understand what else going on in your life. A lot of time pain just covered for suffering. So if physicians can understand what underneath that pain, usually the patient suffering from trauma, suffering from abuse, suffering from other spiritual issue, then it will show up as pain. And that's why they love this, the effects of pain medications that give them a high feeling that they don't have to be suffering anymore. So that's the issue that we should get into. I know many physicians very scared to get into the spiritual issue of the patient, but I think it's very important to understand the suffering under it and help patient to get help, seek help to feel better. So you don't, maybe a spiritual director will help that pain, or maybe a hug. Every day they have somebody to hug them, give them food on the table. If they feel being loved, they don't have to seek for food or even for medication. So it's a tricky deprescribing, but I think we will get there. Right now, we just focus on harm reduction so that patient will not get the opioid overdose. But if they decided to get off, we can slowly get them off 10% of the dose at a time. Again, they may have rebounds. So if you take off them too quickly, they may have the pain, they can feel the pain, and they will be scared to get off the pain medication. So we reduce the pain by 10% of the dose at a time, and then we will see how it goes, monitoring them. It's a process, it's a relationship. Overall, I feel like deprescribing is the chance for physician and patient build up a relationship to focus on lifestyle, medicine, functional medicine, spiritual medicine, integrative medicine, and then use medicine as a tool, not the main tool to treat everything. That's how I think, and I hope that patient will discuss with physicians and build up their relationship, build up their relationships, and this deprescribing is not hard.
So thank you so much for particularly covering that topic with chronic opioids. That is, I feel like, the most difficult thing in clinical practice. And it is because you start to get into those issues of like emotional health, spiritual health. You start to dig deeper. And often that's where the real pain is living. But if you've been on a medication, it's been years and years, and you have not had the light shined on what's really going on, it can feel very jarring and painful. So I think your gentle approach is just what we need to understand, that we need to do this without judgment. We're just asking the questions that need to be asked. So Dr. Nguyen, thank you so much. This has been a lot of valuable information. So I'm going to make sure the listeners know where to find your website and where to find you. If you'll check the show notes, I'll make sure to summarize the medications that we discussed, especially if you maybe want a list. If you are thinking that it's time to make some big changes so that you have the vocabulary to take to your doctor's office. Dr. Nguyen, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you again. And again, if you have some problems approaching physicians, just ask your pharmacist. They can write it down, their recommendations, and you can bring it to your physicians and have a talk with them. You never know. But I really want to remind you, it's a relationship that you build up with your physicians, and the physicians always on your
side. Well, thank you so much, listeners. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye-bye. Listeners, thank you so much for
joining us. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Art of Healing podcast. I wanted to close things off with this episode to remind you that I've got some new projects that are available. One of those is a course in mindfulness, a topic that's near and dear to me, that is something that I have been using in my own personal practice of healing and growth, and I'm so excited to share with the world. So if you're interested, click your show notes to find out more. And then I am working on my book, The Heart of Being, and I am looking for readers who want to give me some input. So if you would be interested in receiving a small bit of the book, I'll put a link below to send me a message. Thanks so much. Thank you so much for joining during this episode of the Art of Healing podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please leave a review. Also, you can check your show notes to find out how to get a copy of this and future episodes emailed directly to your inbox, available to listen to anytime. Finally, if you have questions or wish to connect to me, check your show notes to find out how we can get connected and find out how I can be of service to you.